2 Kings 6. I'd just make a little comment about this axe head which swam and how Elisha solves the problem. So verse 1, the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, look, the place where we dwell is too small for us. Well, who were these sons of the prophets? The idea was that the law was to be taught to Israel by the Levites. And remember, this was largely an illiterate society. So no Levites teaching the law, they were not going to hear the word of God. And the idea was that Israel paid their tithes to the Levites so that they could focus upon that. But Israel didn't pay their tithes, and so the Levites became landless labourers for the general majority of them. You think of Micah in the book of Judges at the end there, where he is wandering around looking for work, and he's a Levite. And it seems that what happened was that some of them went off and lived in communities and supported themselves as kind of subsistence farmers somewhere on wasteland that wasn't being used by anybody. And they were living pretty poor in order to be prophets, in order to study the scriptures. And you can see a picture really of their poverty, that they're cutting down wood in order to clear a bit of land for themselves to live on. And this one young man is felling a tree and the axe head flies off, falls in the water, and he says, alas, even that was borrowed. So you have a picture of their poverty for the sake of their commitment to God's word, and that is, of course, of itself an encouragement to us and a lesson. Well, the man of God, Elisha, said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place where it had gone splash. It's as if he wants the man to recount exactly what happened and to relive the whole situation and to, as it were, pique the man's desperation and his realization of his need. And then Elisha cuts down, unfortunately the NEV says a stick, but the very language of cutting down means it was not a stick, it would have been a major branch, a major piece of wood, just as perhaps the first prophet had been doing. He does the same as what the prophet did, and he then throws in the piece of wood and the iron floats. Why did Elisha operate in this way? Well, I think the idea was, he's saying, you cut down a piece of wood, right? And that's what caused the problem. I also will cut down a piece of wood. I am with you. I stand with you. And then he makes the man relive the whole situation to pique the man's desperation and desire for the whole thing to be somehow undone. Although it was totally outside his power to do this. But Elisha presents himself as a fellow cutter of wood who could, in fact, reverse what seemed the irreversible. And in that, you see, I think, the essence of how the Lord Jesus works and how God works and worked through him. He was our representative, just as Elisha also cut down a piece of wood to say, yep, I know what it's like to cut down wood. I am your fellow cutter of wood. But in my case, the axe head didn't fly off. So the Lord Jesus had our nature. He was our representative. He was not in that sense a substitute, that somebody dies in the place of somebody else dying. Rather, the biblical emphasis in the New Testament particularly is upon the Lord being our representative, sharing our nature. And he therefore can totally identify with us, that he has legitimately been through all our human experience. And then this whole thing of asking the man, well, where did it go splash? And the man points out, there. Where? Well, there, just there. As if to make him relive the memory. Now, it's rather like Jesus asking the blind man, well, what do you want? Well, it's pretty obvious the guy wants to get healed, right? He wants his sight back. But Jesus piques the man to confess his deepest need and his realization of that need. And so I think it is, really, with a lot of things, like when Jesus appears to be asleep and the disciples desperately wake him, Lord, save us. Well, whether he was asleep, I somewhat doubt. But he did that to make them realize their desperation. Another time there's a storm on the lake and he walks as if he's going to walk past them. And they say, no, Jesus, come here, save us, don't walk by. Why does he do that? Why didn't he just walk to them? Why didn't he just solve the problem? I think it was to pique their desperation and their realization of their need for him to do that which was beyond, that which was possible for them. On the way to Emmaus, Jesus makes as if he's going to go further, and they say, no, don't go further, abide with us. Exactly as he has said, that I want to abide with you and you to abide in me. So this basic process is going on in our lives, that we are re-stimulated by God at times, like this man was asked, where did the axe fall? Where did the axe head fall? Now tell me about it exactly. This is because we are to be made to realize what is our heart's desire. I desperately want this to be reversed, which is irreversible. And this, of course, is our feeling as we bury our loved ones in Christ, that I want this to be reversed, but I cannot. It is irreversible. And every sin is the same. It nets death. And I want that to be reversed, but I cannot put the clock back. And we are made to realize that through the hand of God in human life, hand of providence, the working of his Spirit, to help us to realize that I desperately want this, but I cannot of myself. And that is the whole wonder and the whole need of the Lord Jesus as our representative, as Elisha himself takes an axe and cuts down a branch to say, yep, I am your fellow cutter of wood. This could have happened to me, but it didn't. And that is the wonder of the Lord Jesus.